There are heroes whose names we never hear. A dedicated army of quiet volunteers, reaching out to feed the hungry, reaching out to save the land, reaching out to help their fellow man.
Diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, DIPG, known as DIPG. That's what the show is about today, and my show is dedicated to Aubrey Nicholas, Aubrey's army, many, many people from the Mobile area beyond. We're supporting Aubrey through this DIPG journey. We're going to have several callers on the line today, one of which is Aubrey's mother, Brooke. Brooke is joining us, and Teresa Bonner's a family friend. Dr. Trent Hummel works at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Keith Dersirich will be joining me as well, along with Heidi Fireherm Smith with Monkey in My Chair. So the show today is about DIPG awareness, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. We'll refer to it as DIPG from here on out. And on the program right now, I have Brooke Nicholas. Brooke, welcome to the Mark White Show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Brooke, I know it's been a difficult time for your family. I was late coming into Aubrey's Army, but I wanted to be a part of it back in July. It was put on my radar. And I felt for your family and for Aubrey and what she was going through. And if you would share Aubrey's story with us, you can go back to before the DIPG diagnosis, if you will.
Okay. Well, Aubrey, other than being beautiful and talented and everything else, she's a front and center kind of girl. Always had everybody's attention from the moment she walked into her room. A dancer. Like front and center, she always caught your eye. She started school last year, started her fifth grade year, and dance. Her teacher started noticing a little something different in her, the way that she would do her steps and things like that. She wasn't getting things quite like she could even as a 4-year-old. She would just mess up little steps here and there, and I thought, okay, well maybe she was just having a bad day. So then I called her school teacher, who she had only been in school about a month of her fifth grade year, and her school teacher said, yeah, something's off with her handwriting. I don't really understand what's going on. I actually called for a meeting for us to talk with each other to see kind of what was going on at home or things like that. So I thought, okay, something's wrong. So she also said something was wrong with her bike. Her bike was not working quite the way that it always has. So, of course, I hit on the bike. The steering was off, she said. So I got on her bike, and, of course, it worked fine. We thought, okay, something's going on. We need to go to the doctor. So we go into her local pediatrician, and they told them everything that was going on. And, of course, right then, I work in radiology at one of the local hospitals here. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with MRIs and CTs and x-rays and things like that. So we go in and have an MRI, and my radiologist wanted to speak with us immediately. So I knew something was wrong because they don't talk with you right after you have an MRI, whether you know them or not.
Right.
So we go into the office, and he's like, there's something on her brain. He said, I can't, with a lot of movement and contrast, didn't quite go where we needed it to go. So I'm sending y'all to Children's and Women. So from that moment on, we knew something was wrong. That's September 8th of last year. So we go to Children's and Women's, and after 4 days of extensive testing, lumbar punctures, other MRIs, blood work, you name it, she had it. The doctor came in and told us that she had DIPG. Now, a room full of adults, some in the medical field, some not, look at each other, and at that point you go, okay, where do we go from here? And when the doctor just looks at you and he's like, I don't know.
Oh.
They knew of another little girl on the Gulf Coast in Ocean Springs. They knew of her, Sophia Myers. she was in the hospital not long before we were, and, you know, was kind of sent home at that point. And so the doctors, we had one that told us, go home and make memories, and we told him that wasn't going to happen. And then we had another who I looked in the face and asked, what would you do? And he said, you know, I'd fight this as hard as I could, and I'd be in New York right now if it were my kids. So we proceeded that way at Sloan Kettering. Wanted to try to go that way with the CED, where they go in through the top of the scalp and put the medicine right around the tumor. That's basically as close as they were getting at that point with any type of medication. So we wanted to go for the best that we could.
And you alluded to another child that was on the Gulf Coast. I understand that this affects 300 to 400 children nationwide each year, and the age range, and it could be give or take, but 4 years to 11 years old. So Aubrey was on the end of that age spectrum.
Correct.
And I also understand that 9 to 12 months after diagnosis, the young people that are diagnosed with DIPG, that's about the length of survival.
Yes, there are some that, you know, that it hits them within 2 or 3 months, and there are some that live longer. Whether or not, I guess it really just depends on when you catch it or when things start to happen to the kids. You know, and some are misdiagnosed. Some may have a brainstem tumor that some doctors may think, and this is what we have come to realize with some of the doctors here, it may not truly be a DIPG tumor. It may just be a brainstem tumor, so they could live longer. It's strictly a radiological diagnosis. You can't have blood work and it tell you, oh, you've got DIPG, you know. So just looking at x-rays, or not x-rays, but MRIs, things like that, that's going to be the only way that you can factor in that you have DIPG.
Brooke, if you would, tell us how people came together for Aubrey's Army once the diagnosis was made. I know that a lot of people were a part of your effort, and the Lemon Face Challenge and all those things that were done to try to bring awareness to Aubrey's situation, and I know that people rallied around you. If you would address that, please.
Well, it kind of started off with her dance. She, in the community, her dance studio, they do a lot of things around town, a lot of things here and there. And her studio, her instructors really took the bull by the horns and started, along with Teresa and my sister-in-law, they started Aubrey's Army all together. So as a community effort, we started fundraisers, started things like that, just getting out and getting the word out. People didn't know what DIPG was, especially around here, other than Sophia Myers. And it was, I had barely hit on what it was. So when the doctor told us, I knew, but I didn't know. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Right.
So we did all of this and had fundraisers and, of course, raised lots of money and that type of thing. And then one of my best friends on Aubrey's birthday, she wanted to do something that was a lot like the Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS. I actually had a cousin that died of ALS, so I was very aware of what that was. But she wanted to do something that wasn't quite so mess up your day because you've thrown a bucket of water and ice on your head, but wanted to do something where to get the word out there about DIPG. So on March 28th of this year, we started the Lemon Face Challenge, and it grew quick. I know people say it started with Nick Saban, but it did. There were a lot of the baseball teams and different teams that did it to begin with, and then Nick Saban grabbed it, and of course it blew up from there. Kate, my husband, and I were talking with Tokyo. We Skyped with Tokyo. We Skyped with what's the radio? BuzzFeed, we did BuzzFeed, all of that, and it grew and grew. And I think the community grabbed onto it. Every door, every little baseball team, every little football team around here, they were doing it. And, of course, you asked for the next person to do it, to keep keeps it growing. And
right.
It grew, you know, and so people around here, they really know, and the community just came together and rallied around our little girl.
Well, and I know about the Mobile community. Erin Billa, a friend of mine, her husband was killed in the line of duty back in February, a police officer for Mobile, and I know how the community has rallied around her and her situation, her son, and I know that they did the same for you. And, of course, people around the country and around the world were rooting for Aubrey and became part of Aubrey's army. What would you like to tell the audience, listeners out there who may not have yet faced DIPG, that may not have been aware of it until right now, what would you tell them, and what's the legacy that you would like to have Aubrey remembered for?
Well, I think that you should know, like, research it right now if you don't know what it is, because you are one day away from your child possibly having it, and you need to know about it, because it is not something that you want to just sit back and let happen. Because if you don't fight it, you don't get out there and learn all the research about it. Me and my husband would stay up till midnight and later every night online, looking to see what the best options were, looking to see, well, what this causes or what the side effects are to this. And it's not, like I just said, it's not a sit back and just wait on diagnosis. Fight it. Get out there. If you have to move, then you have to move. But if your child is worth it, then go out there, find the best support group, find everything that you can. And for her legacy, Aubrey's army's not done. It hasn't ended with her death a month ago. We are still in the works of trying to figure out what we're going to do next, whether we start a foundation and go forward from there. But you haven't heard the last of Aubrey's army. We hope to be in that fight with helping to find a cure. It didn't just stop with Aubrey.
And as you know, Brooke, I have several people coming on the program today. Dr. Trent Hummel from Cincinnati Children's Hospital and Keith Dersirich, along with Heidi Fireheim Herm Smith, will be joining me as well. And this show is dedicated to Aubrey. I want you to know that you have my condolences. And, of course, I knew that you would continue to fight, and I knew that the legacy would continue on, and that's what I wanted you to share. And you let me know whenever you come up with whatever idea you have for bringing awareness to DIPG and helping other families, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brooke. Appreciate you joining me this morning.
All right. Good to talk to you.
And that was Brooke Nicholas. That is Aubrey Nicholas's mother. Aubrey, September the 8th, they had gone into the hospital or had an MRI, and then on September 12th, the diagnosis was made of DIPG, which we're looking at 1 year ago this week. And of course, DIPG is diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, and I wanted people to have awareness of this, because when I heard about it, it was the first I had heard. And you've got 300 to 400 children nationwide each year between ages of 4 to 11 years old, and of course that falls in my daughter's age as well. But I want to bring awareness, and that's what the Mark White Show is about. I want to educate, and I want to encourage and inspire. And of course, Aubrey's legacy is going to be an encouragement and inspiration to others, and I appreciate Brooke getting on the line with me today and educating people and encouraging people and being that inspiration for others. The children at this point right now, the diagnosis, as we discussed, 9 to 12 months is their survival rate, and sometimes longer, but it's a sad situation, and we're going to continue on with this show. And next up will be Dr. Trent Hummel. Dr. Trent Hummel is an oncologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, and it's the number one cancer center for pediatrics in the nation. He is also the chair of the DIPG Collaborative Council and is the connector between parents and medical experts in many situations. So Dr. Hummel will be joining me when we come back. I hope you'll stick with me. This show is dedicated to Aubrey Nicholas and DIPG awareness. Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person, spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially, in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Paying too much for your water bill is the pits, but you know what they say, when life gives you the pits, dig a well. The solution is to call my friends at Commercial Drilling today. At CDI, customer service and a handshake still mean something. Give them a call at 256-679-8181.
You know the drill.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
What would you like to eat today? My suggestion is El Pollo Maniaco. Whether it's breakfast, hamburgers, tacos, enchiladas, fajitas, El Pollo Maniaco is the place. They have omelets, pancakes, French toast, and in Tanner, it's the perfect place to meet halfway. Whether you're going north or south, Highway 31 or I-65, get off at exit 347 and give them a try. My family loves it. El Pollo Maniaco, located 11980 U.S. Highway 31 South, Tanner, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-262-4931 or 256-262-4930.
El Pollo Maniaco.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Join us for the first annual Rocking Ferret Huntsville Benefit Dinner at Huntsville Botanical Gardens on Thursday, September 27th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The event proceeds will benefit Girl Power to Cure and their battle against Rett Syndrome. Tables and seats are now available, and sponsorship opportunities are also available. Our dinner will honor the following girls and their families battling Rett Syndrome in the region: Blakely Goodman, Charlie and Olivia Foster, Tiana Vega, Jesse Watts, and Violet Munson. There will be a silent auction, live auction, and keynote speaker will be Susan Norwell. For more information, give Kevin Pierce a call at 256-468-1787 or email him at kevin@gp2c.org.
Girl Power to Cure.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, member of Alabama High School Athletic Association, the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. Our new campus opens January 2019. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Athens Bible School.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay. And it's time a few of them were recognized.
DIPG Awareness, that's what the show's about today, and the show is dedicated to Aubrey Nicholas of Aubrey's Army. The family's from Mobile, Alabama. Right now on the line, I have with me Dr. Trent Hummel. Dr. Hummel is an oncologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, the number one cancer center for pediatrics in the nation. He's also the chair of DIPG Collaborative Council and is the connector between parents and medical experts in many situations. Dr. Hummel, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving us the time to talk about DIPGs today.
Absolutely. Well, I'm one of many who did not have an awareness of DIPG myself. I did not understand it when I saw Aubrey's Army and what the family was facing. I have a vehicle, and I decided to use that vehicle for DIPG awareness. If you would, give us your background as a medical professional and what led you to this particular avenue of the medical profession, DIPG.
Yeah, so I'm a pediatric neuro-oncologist, which means I've completed my training in pediatric hematology oncology, and then did an extra year of training in neuro-oncology. So the patients that I see have brain and spinal cord tumors, and most pediatric neuro-oncologists are also particularly interested in fighting and researching DIPGs because they are the hardest thing to treat in our area, because it is, you know, if you Google that, you'll see that it has a very poor prognosis. And so when you get into the pediatric neuro-oncology field, most of everyone in the pediatric neuro-oncology field has patients who affect them. And most of those times, those are patients with DIPG, because when you walk into a room and you're talking to a parent and that parent's child has a DIPG, you give them hope. You want to give them hope, but you also realize that this is a devastating diagnosis. So we're always looking for that next. How can we make this better? How can we not walk into a room and say, I'm sorry, you have a brainstem glioma? So how I got into that is basically trying to make this, make sure I don't have to go into that room and say, look, this is what the future holds for DIPG. I want to change the outcome, and so I don't have to go into those rooms anymore and say, this is what DIPG looks like.
And, of course, as a medical professional, as a doctor, you have two different things. One is the professional side and giving the diagnosis to the family and being direct about how they're going to, but then you have the human side where you're sensitive to what this family's about to go through. And that's one of the things with Aubrey Nicholas, and I was aware of, is the diagnosis of DIPG is not a very hopeful diagnosis. And as Aubrey's mother alluded to, one of the doctors told her to go make memories. And, it's one of those things that I believe, you know, there is research out there that's being done, and you can allude to that, that a lot of money is being spent right now to try to find a cure for DIPG. We're not at that point yet, but there is hope there.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, it's one of those things where, it's definitely a dichotomy, you have to give people hope, and I think there is hope, because there are patients out there who do survive. They're far and few between, but you can't put this is sort of my take on it. Like, I can't put a patient in a box and say, all right, you know, go make memories. This is it. Because there are patients out there who do survive. And so I'm very upfront with patients when I have a patient with a DIPG and say, look, the statistics, and that's what they are, statistics. You're an individual, but the statistics say this is bad. However, you're an individual, and we're going to do everything we can to see if we can make you not part of that bad statistics. And so that's the hope there, but I firmly believe in giving the parents and the patients at times that reality of what this is. And there are, again, there's research out there, there are clinical trials out there that are trying to push the envelope and trying to make this so we don't have to talk about a 2-year survival of 10% or a 5-year survival of 2%. Right, or trying to push that so it's better than that.
What are we looking at as far as some of the things that somebody might be looking for in a child to, if they're not aware of DIPG and they're seeing some changes in their child? What are some things that they would look for?
Well, one of the most common things is persistent headaches or vomiting, especially vomiting at night or headaches. And then they'll wake you up in the middle of the night. Other what we call neurological changes, where the eyes are sort of moving back and forth, or the eyes aren't quite aligned. There's a little bit what we call nystagmus when the eyes beat back and forth. Oftentimes you'll see head tilts, so tilting to the side because that tumor is pushing on some different nerves, and the child is trying to correct their vision by tilting their head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide variety of symptoms, but those are the common things. And you know what I always say is, you know, mom's intuition is better than, you know, 100 doctors. And if mom is saying, or even dad, we'll give dad credit too. If mom or dad is saying, you know, if there's something not right, keep pushing, keep saying, you know, something's not right with my son or daughter until you get an answer that satisfies you.
And when I was talking to Brooke just a few minutes ago, one of the things educators, a teacher recognized a difference in handwriting, and another recognized a difference in her step when it came to dance.
They
brought this awareness to Brooke as well, and she decided to delve in further to find out more about what was going on, to have a parent-teacher meeting to see what was going on. But I would say that we can all play a part. If you're an educator, you see a child on a daily basis, and you see those changes, those differences, you can speak up and say something about it.
Absolutely. If you see something, especially if you have someone who is you know, like, for instance, with that handwriting, you notice that, oh, this person's handwriting is beautiful. It would probably never apply to me, myself, as a physician, because my handwriting is terrible. But, you know, if something changes drastically as an educator, or if you're seeing someone at the beginning of the year playing on the playground and they're doing well, then all of a sudden, you know, they're falling a lot, and you notice a little bit of a head tilt, speak up. Talk to the mom and say, look, something's not right. Talk to the family.
And we're talking to Dr. Trent Hummel. He's an oncologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, and it's the number one cancer center for pediatrics in the nation. How did they earn that title, Dr. Hummel?
Well, that you're speaking of the U.S. Seasonal Report designation, and they look at a lot of things. They look at survival rates of other types of cancers, leukemias and such. They also look at infection rates, and they put all of this together into sort of one package and give us a score, and that score this year put us on top. And I'm very proud to work at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. It is it's a world-class organization with world-class people, and not only, like, people who are smart and want to do research, but also people who are in a word, like, genuine and want to make this world a better place in the pediatric oncology world. And we're pushing the envelope when it comes to research. It's one of those things where, like, we want to risk our job security. That's one of those few places in life where I would love to not have to be a pediatric neuro-oncologist, right?
Right.
That's what I tell people all the time. I don't want to see you. I'm a doctor, and I don't want to see your child. And so we're always trying to eliminate our job, which is always an interesting thing. But I think that everyone at Cincinnati Children's has that bent of, how can we make this better? How can we keep pushing that envelope?
And, Doctor, I want to thank you for your service and for making DIPG a part of your effort to bring awareness and to find a cure for it, and I appreciate your good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Dr. Hummel, thank you for joining me this morning. I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to talk to my listeners.
Thank you so much. I appreciate having the opportunity.
Yes, sir. You take care.
Thank you. All right.
And that was Dr. Trent Hummel. He is a oncologist there with Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. And when we come back, we're going to have Keith Dercerich. And Keith Dercerich, he is the founder, co-founder, and chairman of the Cure Starts Now Foundation, the world's largest DIP foundation with nearly 40 locations globally. He's also the founder of DIPG Collaborative, the largest DIPG collaborative of independent foundations in the world. He's also the steering council member of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Consortium and the DIPG Registry. More importantly, he is the father of Alina Dercerich, who passed from DIPG in 2007. We'll have Keith joining us in just a few minutes. I hope you'll come back. You're listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. If you are looking to sell or buy a home, I would encourage you to call Kanita. Call Kanita at 256-337-1606 for all of your real estate needs. You can also find her on Facebook at Kanita Hall Realtor, as well as twinsrealtyco.com.
Call Kanita.
Suzanne's Bakery and Eatery has now been serving up fresh baked items to Athens and North Alabama for over 12 years. Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
Since 1930, McCleary Tire in Athens has been your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters. I'm going to let my friend Casey Harbin tell you all about it.
We do undercar stuff, tires of all kinds, commercial, implement, lawn, garden. We do all kind of chassis work, front end alignments, shocks, struts, bearings, oil changes. We do air conditioning work, starters, alternators, tune-ups, engines, transmissions. We do it all.
Located at 611 East Hobbs Street in Athens. Give them a call at 256-232-2630.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Tiffin Motorhomes is a proud sponsor of The Mark White Show. Tiffin Motorhomes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorhomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motorhomes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Wrapping it smoothly.
Courageous Living Books is dedicated to exploring the number one bestseller of all time, the Bible. Our adult class curriculum is extensive and offers both topical and textual study guides that are easy to read. Their goal is to bring truth to life. Author Wilson Adams has a passion for writing, for turning the complex into the simple. Your study will be enriched and your spiritual walk will be enhanced. Explore the online bookstore at CourageousLivingBooks.com. Enter the coupon code RADIO for 10% off your first order. That's CourageousLivingBooks.com, coupon code RADIO.
Courageous Living Books.
Losing a loved one is difficult, and many times dealing with the estate of a loved one makes it even more challenging. If you're facing what to do with the home or land of someone you love, give Kanita a call and let her walk you through the process. 256-337-1606. Kanita Hall Realty.
This is Ruth Ann Stallings. I'm listening to the Mark White Show and encourage you to try to make a difference in the lives of people.
Heroes come in every shape and size, making special sacrifices for others in their lives. No one gives them medals, the world don't know their names, but in someone's eyes, they're heroes just the same.
Almost 1 year ago to the day, Aubrey Nicholas of Mobile, Alabama, began her diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma journey, DIPG. In July, I was made aware of Aubrey's Army and Aubrey's DIPG battle. I wanted to bring more awareness to DIPG and Aubrey's story, so I began to put a show together about it. On August 15th of this year, Aubrey passed away after a year battle. As part of her legacy, I continue to move on with the program that you're hearing today, and today's show is in honor of Aubrey and all those children who are and families who have been affected by DIPG and those who've yet to begin their battle. We have with us right now Keith Dersrick, and Keith is the co-founder and chairman of the Cure Starts Now Foundation, the world's largest DIPG foundation with nearly 40 locations globally. He's also the founder of the DIPG Collaborative, the largest DIPG collaborative of independent foundations in the world. He's also on the steering council, a member of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Consortium and the DIPG Registry. As I said earlier, most importantly, Keith is the father of Elena Dersrick, who passed away from DIPG in 2007. Keith, welcome to the Mark White Show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir, for what you're doing. And of course, a lot of these families, just like Aubrey's family, her parents stated Aubrey's legacy is not over. They are going to come up with a way to try to bring awareness to DIPG and to help other families. And that's exactly what you and your wife did, who actually is named Brooke herself, with the Cure Starts Now. If you would tell us about the Cure Starts Now Foundation and how you came to be a part of that.
Well, it started out as I think any other parent does when your child is diagnosed. And number one, nobody really knew what DIPG was back then. I mean, this was 10 years ago. And there was effectively one expert in the entire world, and a lot of people had no idea what it was. So it starts out of passion. It starts out of desperation. It starts by going out and trying to find out as much information as you possibly can, because we had hopes that we may be able to be the one or be able to beat it. So we go out and get the biggest book on cancer research, and we open it up. And as we start looking at it, we start to see paragraphs. We start to see insinuations about how a lot of experts believe that if they can find a cure to these types of rare brain cancers, such as DIPG, they're going to learn a lot about all other forms of cancers. And that seemed like a pretty profound statement to me, to think that DIPG can kind of be that home run strategy. And at the end of the day, my wife and I looked at it, and we couldn't find anybody that was really doing anything in this realm. There was no awareness. There was no money for research. There was a lot of researchers that were telling us that they wanted to focus on it, but there wasn't tenure, and it really wasn't a career path once they got out of college, so they went to do something else. And after hearing about that so long, we sat down and we wrote a blog. At that point, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. And we wrote this blog that we didn't think anybody was really reading. And it was about how we're curing cancer wrong, focusing on cancer by the numbers and not on by the science. And the last line of that was the words, "The cure starts now." And we kind of got a cause that came out of it.
And, of course, you've helped families, other families across the country and the world who have gotten this diagnosis of DIPG. If you would, tell us about how the organization helps families.
Well, what we focus on is what a lot of organizations are not. There's organizations that focus on things such as wishes, or they'll focus on the family support. At the end of the day, though, we believe that what these children want more than anything else is to be cured. They want to be healthy. And so what Cure Starts Now is focused on is on the research, and not just any research. We focus on some of the most innovative projects out there, because and these are things that we have to create. Still today, while there's a lot of researchers that have changed their career path because they've always wanted to focus on DIPG, there still is a lack of research out there. So we started to build effectively one of the best medical advisory councils we could, and we're actually forming brand new research rather than just sitting back and waiting for it to come to our door. So Cure Starts Now, at its heart, really is a research-driven organization. We have other programs, which you'll hear about, like Monkey in My Chair and the DIPG Warrior Program. But at the end, all of our efforts serve the focus of trying to cure these children and get rid of DIPG so that we can, frankly, go back to our normal day jobs.
And one of the things, when we talked before, there was the book, and when it sold and it actually made money, you turned around, you and your wife, and decided to take that money and put it into research for DIPG.
I mean, we didn't think the book was actually going to go anywhere, to be honest, at
right.
the beginning. And frankly, we weren't real happy about sharing it. Elena's battle, we drive a lot of inspiration from her, but at the end of the day, we tended to want to be more private about it. The only reason it got out there was because of that blog, and effectively, we thought that it was a little bit more controlled than what it was, because we put it at DesiRick.org because no one could spell or pronounce her name, and it was a quick way to make sure only family read it. But it ended up growing, developing, and it ended up having thousands and thousands of people back then that were reading this. And everybody came to us and said, well, will you write a book? And this was after Helena had passed. And The Cure Starts Now was just starting to be created from effectively one of those blogs. And we actually kind of fought it. Didn't really want to do it. Actually went out, printed up 300 copies of a book and paid for them ourselves and just gave them to people with the hopes that they would quit asking. And it didn't. Helena at that point, even after she had passed, I guess was trying to send us a signal. And she wanted us to continue with it. And so finally it ended up going and getting national attention, international attention. And the Notes Left Behind, which is what it's called now, is in 22 different languages around the world, became a New York Times bestseller. And yeah, we used the money to create this, to focus on research. Because at the end of the day, we're parents that just want this cure. We don't want to have to see any other parent, any other child go through this, and we'd like to see it cured so that way we can move on. I think that's the biggest inspiration that I think all these children, including Aubrey, give to us, is they give us the opportunity to cure cancer. You know, effectively, in the darkest of times, these warriors, these heroes, are really our biggest hope.
And I'm right there with you in finding a cure, and I hope that this show will help bring awareness to those who did not know before today about DIPG. And also, if they find that they can be a part of the effort, how would you encourage somebody to be a part of The Cure Starts Now? Where would they go? What do they need to do if they want to be a part of this effort?
Well, I think part of it is, if you don't mind me with an aside here real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's important to understand why it affects everybody too. A lot of folks will look at this and they'll say, well, that's, my child doesn't have brain cancer. I haven't been impacted by that. And I don't think we can really take that road. DIPG does change the way we focus on things such as breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. Unfortunately, though, if you look at how we fight cancer, we tend to fight it by the numbers. We look at it and say, well, this one affects the most number of people, so therefore, let's prorate the funds that we use through our government, through our private resources, and put the majority of the funds at the one that affects the most number of people. And that makes sense. At some level, when you think about it, you go, okay, all right, well, that helps a lot of people. But unfortunately, that's not how science works. Science doesn't work by popularity. It doesn't work by the number of diagnoses. It doesn't work by any of those standards. And so what we're saying is The Cure Starts Now represents is a totally different way of attacking cancer. There are these types of cancers that the oncologists and the neurosurgeons and everybody else think are going to lead us to greater discoveries and are going to force us to think out of the box. If you think about it and you're fighting, any type of other cancer out there, and somebody comes to you and says, there's a 30% chance that we can use this conventional treatment that we've used already before, and it might save your life. Or if you'd like to try something that's brand new, but we have no idea whether it's going to survive your life and we can give you no chances on it, you're going to decide to go with the 30%, even though it's not a great probability.
Right.
And so we don't advance science by doing that. What happens is we get pigeonholed into chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, and we never really take it out of that grouping. What DIPG forces us to do, because we have zero odds really, is it forces us to find something new. So we get into brand new ways of fighting cancer. Ironically, it's the same way that we did it back in the 20s and the 30s. Unfortunately, we got away from it. And what we created back then was chemotherapy. It didn't exist before because we forced to focus on those that infected children because they've always historically been the place that you want to focus on cancer research. And we focused on those that were the most elusive. And by doing so, we changed everything. So it's important to understand this is a fight, and Aubrey's fight is about all of us, whether we're adults, whether they're children, whether it's our mothers or fathers, all of us. And so it's a fight that I think we all got to get behind because this is the only way that we can really fight cancer.
Absolutely. Well, Keith, I appreciate you being willing to come on the program today. And of course, you helped pull this together. And we have Heidi Fireherm Smith coming up with Monkey in My Chair, director with the Cure Starts Now Foundation. So we'll have her on the program here in just a minute. And thank you, Keith. And I appreciate your willingness to, and your wife's willingness to go the extra step to try to help other families.
Oh, no problem. And if folks want to contribute to it, they just need to go to thecurestartsnow.org, or they can go to Facebook. We can use all the help we can get. This is a worldwide mission.
And we've been talking to Keith Dersterick. Thank you so much, Keith. We'll hope to talk to you soon.
Okay. Goodbye.
Keith Dersterick, co-founder and chairman of the Cure Starts Now Foundation. When we come back, we're going to have Heidi Fireherm Smith joining me. She's with Monkey in My Chair, director with the Cure Starts Now Foundation. It's part of the DIPG collaborative coordinator there with the same organization Keith is part of. I hope you'll stick with me. This is a DIPG awareness program, of course, in honor of Aubrey Nicholas. And I hope you'll let your friends know about this special show. A lot of people aren't aware of DIPG, and that's what this show's about. So come back. We'll have our next segment coming up, the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. What you gonna do when the well runs dry, honey? What you gonna do when the well runs dry, babe? What you gonna do when the well runs dry? Pick up a phone and call CDI, honey, baby mine. For all your well service, well drilling, and water purification needs, pick up a phone and call my friends Ken and Summer Gobble at CDI, 256-679-8181, where customer service and a handshake still mean something.
You know the drill.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of the Mark White Show. Tiffin Motor Homes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorHomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motor Homes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Roughing it smoothly.
Are you looking for a Bible study that will inform, encourage, and build your faith? Then the Courageous Living Book Study Series is for you. With studies for teens, college age, and adults, the Courageous Living Book Study Series is easy to read and understand. They will enhance a church's class curriculum or your own personal growth with God. Here's the bottom line. Your Bible studies will be deeply enriched. Explore the online bookstore at CourageousLivingBooks.com. Enter the coupon code RADIO for 10% off your first order. That's CourageousLivingBooks.com. Coupon code RADIO.
Courageous Living Books.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation so your crew can work quickly and safely in any environment. And now we're making it easier than ever to put a Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarnas in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna Fleet Program. You'll get professional results and the power to save. Visit Greens Dependable at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-331-023. Find them on Facebook at Greens Dependable Hardware. What would you like to eat today? My suggestion is El Pollo Maniaco. Whether it's breakfast, hamburgers, tacos, enchiladas, fajitas, El Pollo Maniaco is the place. They have omelets, pancakes, French toast, and in Tanner, it's the perfect place to meet halfway. Whether you're going north or south, Highway 31 or I-65, get off at exit 347 and give them a try. My family loves it. El Pollo Maniaco, located 11980 U.S. Highway 31 South, Tanner, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-262-4931 or 256-262-4930.
El Pollo Maniaco.
Fall means pumpkins, and for all your pumpkin needs, I suggest J. Calvert Farm. Located 3 miles south of Dodge City on Highway 69, exit 299 off Interstate 65. J. Calvert Farm has over 30 varieties of pumpkins, including gourds. J. Calvert Farm is a you-pick farm on Friday and Saturday. So make your reservations today and get ready to take a group or your family for a special trip to the farm. Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farm in Dodge City, Alabama.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down.
Today's show is in honor of Aubrey and all those children and families who have been affected by DIPG and those who have yet to begin their battle. Right now on the phone with me, I have Heidi Fireherm Smith with Monkey in My Chair. Welcome to the program, Heidi.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you would, tell us about what Monkey in My Chair does to help children who are facing this DIPG diagnosis.
Absolutely. The Monkey in My Chair program was started, my daughter Chloe, she battled DIPG in 2006 and 2007. And after she passed, I wanted to do something to kind of honor her. And she loved school and she loved monkeys. And so one of the things I came up with was sending a big stuffed monkey to school when the children couldn't be there. So when they're in the hospital or going to doctor's visits or just not well enough to be in school, their monkey can go and take their place. And it keeps them connected to their classmates, makes it not so scary for the class and also for the child going through all the treatment. So we started this in 2009, and it just kind of blossomed. And we send these Monkey in My Chair kits now to children all over the United States. We've got a group in Australia that raises funds so that their children there can have Monkey in My Chair kits. But it's just kind of, it's just a great way to keep the child connected with their classmates during this time, because these kids miss a ton of school, and really all they want to do is be in school with their friends.
Just be kids, and I understand that completely. And tell us about how this also affects the parents, because I imagine that there's some comfort to this project and this effort that brings to the loved ones, parents, grandparents, whoever's taking care of the children, that it gives them some peace as well.
Oh, yes. Well, and typically when your child is diagnosed, your first and foremost concern is their treatment and getting them, you know, the right treatment to the right doctors, to the right hospitals, which it should be. And so the whole concept of school and, you know, what the child's concerned about missing school sometimes gets put on the back burner because it's just not in the forefront. So by having something like our Monkey in My Chair kits in place where the families can request one individually or some of the hospitals are handing them out, they have something right away that they can give to the school, and the school can kind of put that in place and kind of, you know, make sure that that child's not being forgotten. And it also eases the burden of the parent having to, you know, sit down and have that hard conversation with the class or who, you know, whoever needs to talk. There's a children's book that comes with the Monkey in My Chair, and it is written on a child's level to talk about how, you know, they might come into class and there might be a monkey instead of them, and, you know, treat that monkey just like you would treat them, take that monkey to PE or to library or whatever. And it also touches on the fact that that their friend might start to look different and how they're still that same person inside. And so it's a great way for the classroom and the other kids to kind of open up that conversation about how they're going to treat their friend, things they might expect to see. And so really, like, for especially for the family, they don't have to worry about, you know, that whole conversation, because the putting the monkey there with the, and we send out a companion that goes to the teachers to really help them walk through this program and implement it the best way they can. So it just makes it a lot easier dealing with, you know, the whole aspect of the other kids in the classroom.
What a very special effort. And when you think about how it affects you personally and thinking about your own daughter, Chloe, how do you feel that the program has done from its inception?
Oh, it's been amazing, because I don't think I was expecting for it to kind of take off the way it did. I was more concerned about, you know, how can I help these kids that I know right now and stay connected with school. And then once these hospitals started finding out about it, there was nothing else out there that really did what we were doing. So as soon as hospitals found out, they would, you know, contact us, and we would send them kits, and they'd get them out to the kids right away. But it's really, the feedback is just really heartwarming to hear from these other parents, the teachers, the hospitals, about how much it really makes a big impact in keeping these kids connected. And it's also been very useful as a grieving tool as well. So unfortunately, not all these kids that receive these Monkey in My Chair kits are going to survive. And so having something tangible in the classroom that the other kids can, you know, use as a grieving tool, something to hold on to, and it also, you know, just helps them get through that whole process. And having the family knows that their child's still being remembered in the classroom, because the kids are still, they still have that monkey there to remember their friend. So it's just all the way around, it's been just awesome feedback. And we just know that we're helping kids. You know, research is very important. And by sending these kits out, this brings an awareness to the research and the need for that, and it brings more money in for research. So it's kind of a full circle thing. But the Monkey in My Chair is kind of helping them immediately, whereas the research is, you know, a long-term thing.
Exactly. Such a beautiful thought that you're sharing there about the children and having the monkey still there to represent that child and the friend that they had and they loved and cared about. If people want to be a part of Monkey in My Chair, how would they go about that, Heidi?
So we've got a website, monkeyinmychair.org, and we send our Monkey in My Chair kits out to any child that's diagnosed with any form of cancer, and we send them out at no charge. So the family can go online, fill out a simple request form, and get that monkey to go and sit in the classroom. Or the hospitals can contact us directly, and they can fill out a request, and they can get kits sent to them at no charge, and they can get them to the families. So we also have a way to donate and to kind of pay it forward to help sponsor that monkey for the next classroom. So we're always, you know, raising funds so that way we can keep this program free for all these kids.
That is so great. Heidi, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
You take care.
All right. Thank you.
Been talking to Heidi Fireherm-Smith with Monkey in My Chair. What a great project. What a great effort to think about what that monkey represents and taking the place of the child there while the child is in the hospital. This show has been dedicated to Aubrey Nicholas, and I wanted to bring more awareness to DIPG. I hope I've done that. I hope I've done this show justice. As part of her legacy, I continued with this program. Of course, Brooke, Aubrey's mom, joined me this morning along with Teresa Bonner, Dr. Trent Hummel, Dr. Keith Dursarik, and Heidi Fireherm-Smith. I appreciate all those folks joining me and being a part of this special DIPG awareness program. I hope you'll join me next Friday. You've been listening to The Mark White Show, and I am your host, Mark White.
All it takes is a point of light, a ray of hope in the dark.